KFAA.org, click on the Fix the Signal banner and make a donation to keep your station going strong. Thank you for your support in these extremely challenging times to keep KPFK on the air. We cannot do this without you.
And you are listening to listener-sponsored radio, KPFK 90.7 FM, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, 93.7 San Diego County, and 99.5 Ridgecrest and China Lake, and streaming online at kpfk.org. Check us out on Facebook and Instagram.
From the icy cold curves of Angeles Crest to the sunny shores of PCH and around the world on kpfk.org, this is The Car Show. Broadcasting every Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. here on KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles for over 52 years. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn of AutoWeek.com. All I ask is that you go to AutoWeek.com and click on all my articles millions of times each. That's not asking too much. I am joined this week and every week by my favorite co-host in the world, a practicing attorney specializing in automotive law and owner of two Miatas, Michelle Spencer. Welcome, Michelle.
Hey, Mark. Great to be here with you again to talk all about cars, our favorite time of the week.
It is every week. This is the high point. And this week, we are joined by our friend and colleague from the Great Northwest, reporter covering Volkswagen, Audi, Bentley, Lamborghini, Porsche, Scout, auto startups, and future product pipeline for automotive news. He's a lifelong car enthusiast and spent his formative years reading publications such as Car and Driver, Road and Track, and, most importantly, Auto Week. At least that's what it says on his resume. While attending the Chicago Auto Show each winter before he moved to the great Pacific Northwest, please welcome Jack On Track Walsworth. Jack, welcome.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Michelle. Great to be with you both again. Thanks for having me.
Is it raining up there?
It is not, and we could use the rain. We had like a half an inch in June and haven't had it in July. So ironically, things are pretty brown here. We could use the rain for sure. So
it's never brown. It's always green up there. It's a rain.
I know. It's hard to believe. So hopefully we get some more.
All right. Yeah. Good. Well, Jack's got a couple of stories that he's been working on that he will share with us later. We have to start out, sadly, with some sad news. Two items of sad news. The show that precedes The Car Show is called Spotlight Africa, and that was put on for I don't know how many years, as long as I've been associated with the show, and probably many years before that. It was a great show about Africa, about politics in Africa, and it was hosted by Sister Assumpta Oturu, and she was just the nicest lady. Back in the days when we went into the studio and did the show, she would be stepping out of the studio, would be stepping in. There was time to talk, and she would tell us she grew up in Uganda, and there were Peugeots and Citroëns there, and that was what she grew up driving. She'd tell us all these stories. So sad to hear that she has passed away. Very nice lady, and we will miss her. The second item of sad news, it comes with a warning. It's very sad. We always say we start out the show talking about Angeles Crest Highway. It's my favorite road, but it is getting increasingly dangerous. Last week, another promising young man died up on Angeles Crest Highway. He was in a Honda S2000, another car. He didn't do anything wrong from what I was able to gather from all the reports. He didn't do anything wrong. Another car understeered across the double yellow line and hit his car head on and killed him. Listen to me, people. Life is not a video game. You cannot hit reset. When you are up there driving, you must know the concept of understeer and oversteer. If you don't know what those two things are, go take a driving school somewhere. Don't think that because you've got something mastered on a video game, you know, Grand Theft Auto or whatever, that you can then go up and drive just that fast. It does not work like that. You must know the limits of your car. You must know the limits of your ability and always drive below those limits. Just below them if you want, farther if you want to be even safer. Assume every corner you can't see around will tighten up. Assume there's a bicycle around it, a deer around it, a slow car. You don't know. If you cannot see all the way through the corner, slow down for it. There are plenty of other corners that you can see all the way around. this young man, it's a tragedy. And this happens, I don't want to say regularly, several times a year up on Angeles Crest and on other roads up there. I think it's just mostly people not understanding the physics of how a car works. So please slow down, drive safely. When I'm up there driving, I like that road too. I like all these roads, Malibu, Santa Monica, all the roads that we have here in Southern California. I do that. I'm not at the limit. I'm never right at the limit. There's always time to gather it up, to slow down, to avoid whatever you hit. I've been on Angeles Crest. I've come around corners where there's a bicycle right there that I did not expect. And the bicycle's going up and there's another car coming down. And I was not, 10 tenths. I don't know where I was, but it was not there. I came around a corner once in an Aston Martin and there was a full-size deer. It was like a 10-point buck. It looked like an ad for that insurance company, the Hartford. And I was able to stop before smacking into it. So as they say, respect the crest. Do not drive like an idiot. Know your limits and understand the laws of physics. Okay, enough admonishment. We are going to dive into the calendar section. Actually, Jack, why don't you tell us, it's such a rare opportunity to get your take on being a car enthusiast up in the Pacific Northwest. They've got museums up there, car shows. What's going on?
Yeah, it's the car scene here is really strong. It definitely is more, I would say, Asian-centric. So there you see a lot of JDM vehicles. Given the 25-year law, you're seeing a lot more. See a lot of mini cars, mini trucks. There's actually a used car lot not too far from where I live that just sells strictly JDM stuff. So definitely see a lot of that. A lot of older Volkswagens. So like on my street, there are at least three old buses. There's a pickup, a crew cab, and a very clean looking microbus. So a lot of the European stuff too. Actually, just the other day, I was walking the dog and I saw the crew cab driving for the first time in a while, and has the original dealer plate back from the 60s, which is super cool. So
that's neat. The guy probably owned it his whole life.
Yeah, I wanted to talk with the guy. I haven't yet. But yeah, the car scene here is cool. I mean, it's a city, so you don't see a ton of like big trucks or whatnot. You do every now and then, but you know, a lot of Teslas, a lot of electric cars, a lot of hybrids.
Is it all hippies and tech bros?
No, it's
no.
There are a lot of tech bros and there are a lot of hippies, but it's a good mix.
It's a good mix. He's right. I spend a lot of time in Seattle because I have a friend up there. So I usually go at least once or twice a year. And the last time we went up to the LeMay Automotive Museum in Tacoma and checked out the JDM exhibit that was going on last summer.
Yep.
Yeah. Awesome exhibit.
I got to check it out this past January. It's been a few hours. So it was a great way to spend a Saturday. And LeMay, like Michelle was saying, is a great spot to see. It's from the road, it looks, the structure itself is really unique looking. It almost looks like an old like grill or like from a French car. But then you get in there and it's almost like a parking lot where there's different levels. So, you know, if you have several hours to kill and you're in the Seattle area, Tacoma's not too far if it's a weekend. There is going to be a new exhibit going in on the main entry floor. I don't know what that's going to be just yet. I need to look into that.
All right. You can get that for us for next week's show.
Yes. But yeah, so the car scene here was pretty cool. I did miss it, but 2 weeks ago, Greenwood is a neighborhood here in Seattle. It's just north of where I live, and they have an annual car show. It's kind of like hot rowdy and muscle car-y. So there are muscle cars too in Seattle. It doesn't seem as prevalent as like Midwestern places or maybe Southern California, but every so often you do see some muscle cars too. So yeah,
a lot of the Pebble Beach, sort of the power players are from that area, and they all caravan down to Pebble Beach every year. We'll talk a little bit about Pebble later in the show. That's coming up. All right. Thank you, Jack. Yeah. Checking in from the Pacific Northwest. Don't worry. He's not going away. He's going to be with us for the whole hour. Speaking of JDM, OC Yoda Nights. Now, Yoda in this case refers to Toyota. Tonight at 7 p.m., there is a group, and the event is called OC Yoda Nights. And it sounds like such a clever little idea. They all get together at 7 p.m. at 10842 Catella Avenue in Anaheim, California. That's tonight. Get there at 7, hang out, talk cars, just like a regular Cars and Coffee. And then at 9:30 tonight, everyone turns around and watches the Disneyland fireworks. Isn't that cool? Doesn't that sound like a cute, fun event?
It does. It sounds
our show and fireworks.
Yeah. I mean, I hear it from my place every night.
Yeah. Why spend $50,000 for your own fireworks show when you just, it's for free?
Yeah. Oh, that sounds really fun. And is it mostly Toyotas then?
It says OC Yoda Knights, so I'm assuming it's something. It looked that their poster has a pickup truck with articulated front end. So OC Yoda Knights, 10842 Catella Avenue, Anaheim, California. Drive in at 7 p.m., fireworks at 9:30.
All right.
Ask for more than that. All right.
Fun.
And very cool.
Then where is this? Pomona. Pomona Fairplex going on right now and going on until 7 p.m. tonight. So, you know, not a lot of planning, but we've been telling you about this one. It looks like a good one. 46th annual East Side Story Car Show and Music Fiesta. It's family fun, all ages welcome, kids under 10 free. Kids over 10 and adults, $35 to $40. The East Side Story Music Series, it was originally designed by Anthony Boussalis in 1979 for the low-riding community to bump their, I'm going to say the word wrong. So anyway,
Ron Floss,
as they cruised the boulevards. That's not too hard a word to say.
Trying to save you.
Thank you. I appreciate being saved. That's relevant R&B classic and doo-wop songs and ballads. That's going on at the Fairplex in Pomona, 46th annual East Side Story Car Show and Music Fiesta. That sounds like fun.
Till 7 o'clock tonight.
Till 7 o'clock tonight. And then...
So there's time.
Up in also tonight from 2 to 7, another event in Los Angeles. Carl was going to read this for us. Because, you know, he was a founder at Super Street Magazine. This is the JDM versus Euro car show tonight, starting at 2 p.m., going to 7 p.m., 1000 East 60th Street in Los Angeles. That's 6060th Street in Los Angeles. JDM versus Euro car show, an exclusive gathering that spotlights two legendary automotive cultures, the Japanese domestic market and European cars. So they're going to come together and we'll see what happens. Tickets are $20. You can get the tickets at jdmvseuro.com. Now that's JDM versus Euro. No periods in there. That should be fun. And speaking of JDM, I'm not hogging all these. These sound like fun. So I'm just reading these. I'll turn them back over to you guys. Don't worry. Tonight, when worlds collide, who knows what Mount Akina is and where it fits in car culture? Anybody?
Well, yeah. Drifting.
It's Initial D, the anime, and it featured, I can't remember the kid's name, but he drove his Toyota 86 over Mount Akina. He was a tofu delivery boy, and that became the basis for, I don't know, there's a lot of bases for this, but for the car culture that we know in Southern California as JDM. So Mount Akina versus Fast and Furious, when worlds collide, it's taking place at the Fujiwara Tofu Cafe. If you want to see a real, this is probably as close as we're going to get in Southern California or anywhere in the U.S. to an actual real JDM event. Maybe the Japanese Classic Car Show this fall. But this one is, you know, it takes place at night. There's an actual tofu cafe, and everybody parks around the tofu cafe. It's fun, and it's a cool scene. A lot of neat cars, neat people. Right off of the 10 freeway, exit the 10 at Rosemead, go south, make your first immediate left, then your first next immediate left. Follow it around until you see hundreds of cool cars. Tell Dom we said yo. The address is 9216 Flair Drive, F-L-A-I-R Drive, El Monte, California, 9216 Flair Drive. Now, Michelle is going to take us back down to the OC.
For the Lions Air Museum event, that's right? The Sea of Hot Rods. Yeah. And that's coming up next weekend, July 19th. And this is going to be at the Lion Air Museum, which is right there at the airport known as John Wayne in Santa Ana. So get your bottoms down there. If you love old style nostalgia and you want to see some really cool, awesome, you know, aviation exhibits. And he actually does have a lot in there that is not car oriented. It's airplane oriented, but this is going to be a hot rod a joint venture. So there's going to be not only airplanes and aircraft, but hot rods. So hot rods on the tarmac. That's what that one's called.
And is that
July 19th? I don't know what time.
The little cars are still there. Yeah. Who wrote this? Didn't put the time in. Okay. I'll ding up the time while Jack will read about Woody's.
Sure. Yeah. So we've got the 25th annual Woody's at the beach. It's the 8th annual national meet. So I would imagine there's going to be a lot of cool Woody's of yesteryear. It is in lovely Santa Barbara, which if you're an auto journalist, you've probably been to for a few launch events. I know Mark and I have been there several times. It is on July 26th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Santa Barbara City College. And I'm pretty sure that's right in the heart of Santa Barbara. The address there is 973 Cliff Drive in Santa Barbara, and it's put on by National and I'm assuming Santa Barbara Woody Clips. So got a little bit of time to make it over to SB and check out some old Woodies.
All right. The time for the previous event, Lions Air Museum, is 9 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the parking is, it's July 19th. The parking is very easy. And to get the address, you should go to the Lions Air Museum website.
Yeah. And that's L-Y-O-N-S, Lions Air Museum. Named after General Lyons, who founded it and developed half of the houses in Southern California. So that's where the money went to a nice collection that you can now see. So back up in my neck of the woods, Carcadia Route 66. This is an event that we keep mentioning just because the name is so clever. It takes place in Arcadia, California, and it's about cars. They named it Carcadia. We, you know, if we had one of those buttons where you push and everybody claps, We don't. We can't afford. Mm-hmm. We're saving up for that. But
nope.
Carcadia, July 27th, 7 to 9 a.m. The address is 733 West Naomi in Arcadia, California. It's the last Sunday of every month. It's right there at a Starbucks. Can't miss it. Michelle, you want to do down in Long Beach there? Because you can pronounce the name.
Right. So there's an event the fourth Sunday of every month. So I guess that would be the same day as the Carcadia. So maybe you could switch off. 1 month, go to Carcadia. Then the next month, head down to Long Beach for Shore Shifters, Cars and Coffee, happening at 8 to 10 a.m. at Junipero Beach down in Long Beach. And the thing they're saying is it's not always the same as the last Sunday of the month. It's going to be the fourth Sunday. And they have it in a public parking lot below the Long Beach Museum of Art with a $2 parking fee, but free coffee and free donuts. And all makes and models are welcome at Shore Shifters Cars and Coffee.
You had me at free donuts.
Yeah.
Our buddy who has been on the show, Dave Coleman, he is often there. He is the world's smartest engineer. So if you see him, he's about 19 feet tall. Just go over and say hello and ask him any technical question about, you know, a Miata engine. He'll be happy to talk.
Does he bring a Miata?
Yeah, he has a couple of Miatas, and I don't know what he brings. Who knows if he's going to be there? But he's one of the many cool car dudes in Southern California. So what time are we looking at? Oh, we still have time. Illest Cars and Coffee. Illest is like, I think the kids use that expression. Jack, you're fairly young. Hey, do you use that expression?
I don't. I'm sure the younger folks, the Gen Zers, probably do, though, because that definitely sounds like something here on TikTok for sure.
Illest Cars and Coffee, July 27th. And they have a thing called the Cars and Paws Edition, P-A-W-S. They have, it's called Slammed Sundays, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. in collaboration with Frenchie Division, whatever that is, trackside. And again, somebody didn't put the address on this. Just forget that we said that. It's July 27th. We'll get to it next week, because right now Michelle has to tell us about
Subifest. Yes. Subifest annual event down here in Southern California. It is the biggest gathering of Subi freaks and fans. And it's a lot of fun. This year, new location, though. Because they used to hold it at the Irwindale Speedway. Now they're going to hold it at Santa Anita Racetrack, which is a horse racetrack, not a car racetrack. But it's mostly the parking lot, P.S., you know. And also, they're running it at a new time. It's going to be August 2nd, but instead of starting off in the morning, they're going to start it at 2 p.m. And so we're going to run all afternoon until 9 p.m. And the point of that change was to beat the heat, because it's always hot in August. So, yeah, if you would like to go to Southern California's largest Subaru Enthusiast Festival, August 2nd, get your cars ready and go there to the Santa Anita Racetrack.
Get thee to Santa Anita. Okay, I got the address for the illest slammed Sundays, 230 East La Habra Boulevard in La Habra.
Oh, okay. So that's Orange County, technically.
That is July 27th, illest Cars and Coffee, Cars and Paws edition, P-A-W-S, will be held at 230 East La Habra Boulevard.
So bring a bunny or a dog or a cat or...
9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Yes.
With paws, something with paws. Okay.
Yeah. And we're out of time on the calendar. So just keep in the back of your mind somewhere that Pebble is lurking out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's
coming.
It wants all your money and it wants an entire week out of your life, and it will not give it back to you.
You'll be bankrupt and tired, and you're going to love every second of it.
It's coming, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. Pay thousands of dollars a night for some flea bag cinder block on North Fremont Street in Monterey.
With
pay
no
thousands
view.
More to get into one snooty carvin after another, wither and die in soul-destroying traffic that will have you begging Elon Musk himself to bore a tunnel not under the traffic but through your very brain. Okay, I'm exaggerating. It's fun.
It's all that.
Coming up at the end of August. Actually, Pebble Beach Concours, Sunday, August 17th. The week preceding that is every car event you could ever ask for. Okay, we are over time, as always. We got to get to our guest, Jack, worked on this story. And actually, I didn't fully understand this story. And Jack, tell us about it.
Sure. So, everyone knows the Volkswagen ID. Buzz by now. It's the Volkswagen's modern interpretation of the microbus of the 60s. It's had a slow burn to come out, to put it lightly. This was a vehicle, for those that remember, first shown at the 2017 Detroit Auto Show as a concept. So go all the way back, 2017. I was a year out of college. This is a long time ago.
So young.
Yeah. And as you might recall, 2017 was only a couple of years after the diesel crisis. So this, the ID. Buzz kind of represented Volkswagen's reincarnation as an electric car company. This was going to be something they were going to win over the American consumer, and then some happy days with the cute design. The car was confirmed for production in August of that year at Pebble Beach. Mark might have been there covering it for Auto Week.
I was there.
And then we waited, and then we waited some more, and then we waited some more, and then the calendar said it was November of 2024, and the ID. Buzz finally became available at U.S. dealerships. And obviously, California's big market. I'm sure you guys have both seen a fair share of ID. Buzzes running around. I, up here in Seattle, haven't seen a ton. I see maybe one a week, give or take. But I'm sure they're probably, it might pick up. There's a lot of EVs here, as I mentioned earlier. But all was not well with the ID. Buzz. Turns out there was two recalls in April, and both had a stop sale, which means a dealership can't sell the car while it's under an active recall. So, if you drove by a dealership in, San Bernardino, what have you, and you saw one, even if you wanted to buy it, the dealership legally could not sell you it because the government had a recall on it. But the recalls were unrelated. They were two separate ones. They weren't connected or anything. The first one, it's kind of typical new car, quirky bug. The brake system warning light, so like when you brake really hard, the warning light pops up on the instrument panel, it might display the incorrect symbol and color. So again, the ID. Buzz, from a German car company. It's made in Germany. I believe the issue was it was showing a symbol that is okay for European markets, but not the one that is needed for the US market. So Volkswagen had to do a recall on that one. We see recalls like this from time to time in the US. That's not totally unheard of. But the other recall, which was later that same month, was pretty strange. So here at Auto News, we cover a lot of recalls just because it's a safety issue, but also it impacts dealerships. But the second ID Buzz recall was because the third row, which has two seatbelts, two headrests, and an implied seat for two, was actually wide enough for three seats. So as it turns out, I guess it's not too much of a surprise. You know, you have to meet certain measurements, or measurements have to match up to regulations. The government has us all. It's the Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standard requirements. There's an acronym in there somewhere. I just put the whole thing out there. But turns out,
yes.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you for that. It turns out that technically this third row should have probably had three seatbelts and not two seatbelts, because it had the width for three, even though it only was marketed for two. So, you know, at first glance, it's kind of weird because it's like, you know, how does that happen? B, you know, I think some people were surprised that you could recall something for that. But, you know, we have requirements, regulations for a reason. I talked with a safety person over at Consumer Reports, and they said, you know, pretty much it might sound kind of goofy, but we have regulations and rules for a reason. So the fix was Volkswagen had to, and their supplier had to, create a part to limit the surface area on that third row. And when the recall first came out, you know, I was talking with some dealers. I was thinking on my own, like, how are they going to do this? Because if these seats fold flat, you can fold one at a time. You can take them out of the car. You know, how are they going to put this trim, unpadded trim, in the third row and not, you know, mess with your third row? So it took them a couple weeks and months to figure it out. But at the end of June, Volkswagen came out with a part, and it basically clips on to the end of the left, or the end of each, the left and the right seat. So it's like a thick little piece of plastic that somehow is just enough to limit the surface area to where it should have been for two passengers. So now those seats with that added part are compliant. Again,
thank God for our federal government.
Yeah. Again, you know,
that's the kind of thing that we need.
We see lots of recalls every year across all brands. You know, there wasn't any injuries or anything, but this one is super strange. And then the fact that there was another recall on top of it, you know, having two stop sales isn't good for any car, but let alone
them. And the thing just launched too.
Yeah. So it's
unfortunate timing.
You know, I've driven an ID Buzz. I'm sure Mark has too.
Yep.
They are like super unique. They're kind of fun.
I like them. I'd buy one if I had that much money. They're overpriced. Right. It's the only problem.
Yeah. So that's kind of reflected in their sales figure. So ID Buzz sales in the fourth quarter of last year were 1,162. They sold 1,900 in the first quarter of 2025. And then
that's miserable.
Yeah. And because of that stop sale, they only sold 564 in the second quarter of this year. So
Ouch. Obviously,
you know, Volkswagen, to their credit, I think years after showing this thing, realized, hey, this isn't going to be a volume model in the U.S.
And they could have been, but they brought it in fully loaded like that, you know, with three rows. And I don't know. They have a shorter wheelbase version in Europe, two row seats and rear wheel drive only. And I got to think that they could price that in the 40s. I don't know. What do you think, Jack? That would save this model, I think.
Yeah, I think, especially because that shorter wheelbase already exists. Like, I mean,
right
at this point, you might as well try something. You know, I was chatting with a Volkswagen dealer this week, and he was like, well, if it had a hybrid powertrain or a gas engine, you know, and it was priced lower, this thing would be selling like crazy. So
yep.
There's definitely a lot of hindsight, but, you know, it still is not been a great addition to the lineup. I mean, it does sell.
They need a cheaper version of it. It's just too expensive. And I say that having owned every model of Volkswagen van except the Vanagon, which is just too weird for me. But it's too expensive, you know.
So we'll see. And it, you know, like I mentioned, it's imported from Germany, so it gets slapped with a 27.5% tariff right now. I don't think it'll be a candidate to be localized for production here in the U.S. So it'll be interesting to follow.
An underwhelming response on something that they expected to be a smash hit.
Right.
So that's going to have a 27% tariff on top of an already overpriced.
Wow. Yeah.
Yikes.
So to be clear, the Volkswagen pays the tariff. Consumers don't. Their Volkswagen for the moment is absorbing the price. But
they want you to think, right? Or are they?
No, they are.
MSRP stays the same?
Yeah. So Volkswagen's just eating the tariff.
Ooh.
But eventually the thought is, you know, some of these automakers, if the tariffs stick around long enough, they probably are going to have to raise their prices because, you know, executives have said we can do it for a short term. Long term, this probably isn't sustainable. So stay tuned.
Well, yeah, Michelle will have something about tariffs in just a second. But first of all, I have bad news for Michelle. This next story, Josh Holloway, a hunk from Lost. He was on the crime series Duster. That series has been, well, it has not, has been not renewed. So we remember we reviewed this because the Plymouth Duster 340 with a big V8 muscle car from the 70s was the star of this show. It was driven by Josh Holloway. He was sort of a, I don't think he was a hitman for the mob. Did you guys watch any of this show?
Well, Carl did. I never got around to it.
I watched a couple of episodes and I, you know, he didn't actually kill people, but he was just sort of like a driver. Yeah, he was like a driver for this mob that was ostensibly in Tucson in the 1970s. So it was a fun show from that point of view. You saw all these old cars from that era and they had to, you know, dress them up. Even the cars in the background, you could check them out and see what they were. And the story itself was good. I'm almost tempted to watch like the ending just to see if they resolved the whole thing. Was the mob boss a bad guy or a good guy? Who knows? But I kind of doubt I'm actually going to do that. Anyway, Duster not renewed, sadly. I hope you're okay, Michelle.
I'm
do you need a
reeling.
Support group?
Yes, I you're do. Reeling? I'm reeling. I'm crying. I'm heartbroken right now that right. I don't
well,
get to.
You
got to
step it up because you have to read the next news item.
Well, okay.
Gather it together, Michelle. In your time of grief.
So do you want the update on NASCAR, on the NASCAR lawsuit, or do you want the tariffs?
How much time do we have? We're at 31.
All right. I can do 23XI and Front Row Motorsports update versus NASCAR.
Okay.
So, all right. So Wednesday, July 9th, there was breaking news on this case because the request by the attorneys representing 23XI and Front Row was denied by the judge. They wanted to have a larger panel review their ruling, which denied their preliminary injunction from going forward. And the injunction was designed to keep them as chartered teams throughout the entire season and hold everything in place until the trial in December, which still seems on track.
So are they doing that? Are they chartered teams?
They,
this is Michael Jordan's team, right?
Yes, that's right. Michael Jordan's team. He's the owner.
So is he? Well, did he get what he wanted or?
He did not. This is a bellwether that's not good for the plaintiffs, which are Michael Jordan's team and Front Row. This is they're losing right now. NASCAR's got the upper hand. So, yes. In fact, as soon as the Dover race on July 19th, they could be considered out of charter and they would be considered open teams and they could qualify. And it does seem that they actually will be able to because of the numbers that NASCAR runs, that they would have space to run them as open teams with their race cars.
So they can still race. They just won't
they
be chartered teams. Okay.
Correct.
We'll see what
they
happens.
They could probably still
That's
run. Cool. But the problem is that their ace driver, Tyler Reddick,
yes,
has a provision in his contract, which was either drawn up by a very savvy agent or an attorney, that said that if he does not have a team that has a charter, he becomes a free agent instantly.
Well, is he good enough to like be grabbed up by some other team?
Oh, they're frothing at the mouth over this. The other teams want him.
Intriguing.
And yes, he's the fifth ranked right now. He's at the top. You know, you always want your guy in the top 10 right. going into the cup.
Right.
So he's top five.
Good.
And he could probably name his price. So that's not good for 23XI racing.
NASCAR is just a bubbling cauldron. It's a petri dish of news stories there that
it is.
Michelle is keeping us up to speed on that. We'll see what happens at Dover. But Michelle is also, and I just love when you use terms like complainant or whatever.
The plaintiff.
Legal terms.
The plaintiff.
Draw some Latin whenever you feel like it. Illegitimus non carborundum.
Right.
Lawyers are going, hey, you can't say that on the radio. You can if it's in Latin.
Yes, you can, including the writ of hocus pocus.
Michelle, you've got another story for us.
Right. So I thought we should mention that on the 4th of July, the big bill was signed by President Trump, And there are some provisions in there that car people need to be aware of. The first one is, and Carl has been talking about this, we had a heads up, no more EV rebates, folks. After
this was all in the big, beautiful bill, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. No more EV rebates. What?
No, they're completely being eviscerated, wiped out after September 30th of this year. Some of the provisions in the big bill don't take effect right away, but this one they want in effect. So it's after September 30th, game over. You better get your EVs.
Because earlier they were saying they would be around till the end of the year. Now it's September 30th. Yeah. So this is another blow to the ID Buzz, too.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. That this is not what they need, because if people were right on the bubble and going, yeah, I'll get the rebate, though. It'll be okay. Nope. They better get it now.
Yeah. Jeez, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And so that won't come back until the Democratic administration or, you know,
happens. Theoretically, yeah. If the Democrats can slam the midterm elections and flip some seats, they could reinstate EV rebates right away. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That can happen.
Vote, people. Vote.
Mm-hmm. And then the second item to be aware of is that a new thing that has never, ever in our lifetimes occurred is you can actually deduct your car loan interest. I'm thinking of all the times I had one car I bought brand new. When I became a lawyer in 1990, I got me my new Honda Prelude. And it would have been nice to have a deduction on my car loan interest while I was paying my student loans and all that. There are some conditions. The vehicle has to be final assembled in the United States. The deduction is only for people who qualify on income thresholds. There has to be a modified adjusted gross annual income under $100,000 for a single person and $200,000 for married couples. The final assembly definition, we got this from CNN. Final assembly place is defined as the plant or factory where the vehicle is produced or assembled by the manufacturer and from which it's delivered to the dealer or importer with all of its necessary component parts. Okay, so that's what we have so far to clarify where final assembly is. So unfortunately, if the ID Buzz is not built in America or final assembled here, then there's another problem for that product.
Michelle, remember in the 70s, the pickup trucks from Japan came without the pickup truck bed on it. Yes. The beds came separately. They landed at the docks. They put the bed on it, and it was considered assembled here in the United States.
The chicken tax workaround, right?
There you go.
Very good. Yeah.
Yeah. And for the history buffs, that's another time when we had a really weird situation going on with imported cars. And, you know, who can explain these things? I don't know. But it's still in effect, isn't it? The chicken tax.
It is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, so this is something that the auto dealers will probably be all excited about because they're going to want you to sign up for financing. Oh boy! So,
if you're in those income restrictions, it's a good thing, right? If you
absolutely, you know, I would have loved
somebody
this.
Under $100,000 income, then it's a good thing. So
yeah, and you can deduct up to $10,000 a year. That's a lot of money for a lot of people.
Oh wow, that's just the interest on the loan, or
correct? Yeah,
just interest on the loan,
right? So, and you know, the thing is, I saw just this week that the average car loan now, a car payment for most people is right around $1,000
every month. Wow,
every month. God. And I paid maybe $200 a month for my Prelude.
I never got a car loan in my life. I bought used pieces of junk, and I like them.
Oh boy,
except for the Mitsubishi, bought that new.
Except for your Mitsubishi. But yeah, I had my Prelude. It was a great little car, and I regret selling it. It had 4-speed, everything. It was great. Cool. I loved it.
Maybe you can find it out there.
But I traded in for a Porsche, a 1983 Targa.
Hey, that's a step up, Michelle. Hello. When did you become a Mazda enthusiast? When was that?
Not till 2009 when my friend sold me the RX-8.
Ah.
Yeah. Much later. Yeah. Way later.
Your first
after I was done with my mom years, because when you're in a mom, you can't have that kind of car when you're.
The RX-8 has a back seat. Come on, man.
It does have. It has two seats in the back.
Two air quotes seats.
And you could have probably fit a car seat back there.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. But, you know, it didn't exist in 1994, the RX-8. I would have had to get an RX-7, which didn't have a back seat.
Yeah. All right. And you know, we make sacrifices for our kids, but they appreciate them.
So. Yes. She appreciated that we had this little Honda Accord to take her and all of her friends around everywhere.
Yay. Yay. Okay. Well, Michelle is going to keep us informed on this. There are several other provisions of the Big Beautiful Bill, as it was called. And Michelle will be back next week to fill us in a little bit more. Right now, we're going to the reviews section right on time. And we are lucky enough to have Jack with us, who drove a bunch of cool Audis. What did you have, Jack?
Yeah, so I was out in Colorado back in early June driving the Audi A5 and the S5 and then the Q5 and the SQ5. So the A5 and Q5 are both redesigned for the 2025 model year, and A5 was already a model, but it also takes over for the A4. So Audi merged the A4 and the A5 into one model line. So it's kind of a little weird moniker there. And then the Q5, everyone knows what the Q5 is. That's Audi's bread and butter midsize crossover. So obviously two very big volume models for the luxury brand. And like I said, both are redesigned. They're both on a new platform. They're both actually the first models the U.S. gets on Audi's new combustion platform. So these are not EVs. They're not hybrids, just full-on ICE. Like I said, I was out in Colorado, so the first day we drove the A5 and then the S5 up and down some mountain passes going from Denver to Aspen. So pretty scenic place.
Tough duty, Jeff.
Yeah,
somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, very high elevation. That was one part of driving through Colorado, of living here in Seattle. I think I have some elevation. And then I was at Independence Pass on the Continental Divide, was almost 12,000 feet. Mm-hmm. And that's about four times of what I'm at right now. So
did that sap the power?
A little bit. Like, you could kind of feel it a few times where, like, we kind of thought, like, okay, if this was at like sea level, it'd probably be a little bit different experience. But I mean, those cars, both the A5 and the Q5, were lacking on power, I wouldn't say. Obviously the S versions were pretty fun. But yeah, it was good driving. Had a ton of time with the cars. Audi gave us like 7 hours between the Q5 and the SQ5. I actually drove with Carl all day in the Q5 and the SQ5, so that was super
fun. Carl, our buddy Carl.
Yeah. So it's a small world, this auto media world of ours. But, you know, I hadn't driven the past generation vehicles, so I don't have that baseline to compare to. But, you know, the reviews from what I gathered after seem pretty positive. You know, it seems like Audi really threw the kitchen sink at these. There are big emphasis on the new tech. So there's new infotainment screens. There's even a screen on the passenger side of the dash. That's an option. Audi's big on their, you could say, hey, Audi, and it can do half of the, or not half, you can do majority of the controls just from voice command. So it's very tech forward, which seems to be the route luxury cars are going. But yeah, they're pretty fun. Definitely, there are definitely worse ways to spend 2 days than to drive some of the Audis in the mountains.
The Q5, they sold 56,799 of those, according to Automotive News, yes, the Bible of the industry.
Thanks for that plug. Yeah, so the Q5 is a huge deal for Audi. About almost 30% of their volume in the U.S. comes from the Q5. And Audi sales have been down the last six or so quarters, so they kind of need a shot in the arm. So I think that they're really hoping this Q5 helps out. But it's made in Mexico, so it means tariff. So, you know,
I was just going to ask.
Yeah.
What does that mean for tariffs and whatever else? Mexico.
Yeah. So, right. I mean, it's obviously a lot of things have changed, but at the moment, the Q5, the tariff rate is 27.5% because it's not compliant with the United States, Mexico, Canada trade agreement. If it was compliant, the tax rate would be, or the tariff rate would be different, but because it's not, it's same as if it was made in Europe. And the A5 is made in Germany, so also 27.5%. So Audi is one of those brands that does not have any U.S. production, so they're significantly hampered right now by the tariff situation, unlike Mercedes, BMW, a significant U.S.
Wasn't Audi holding on to cars, or they just kept putting them in and eating the tariffs?
Initially, they did hold in at ports, but that ended, I think, fairly quickly. The new cars are coming through, so if you're driving by your local Audi dealership, they're still getting inventory. But Audi, like Volkswagen, is eating the tariff costs. So,
Oh, man. Yeah. So it sounds like they're sort of assuming that those are temporary costs, not permanent fixed costs.
Correct.
I guess. And I mean,
as we're recording, there hasn't been an agreement between the EU and the US on, like we've seen with the UK and some other, a handful of other countries. But
well, I guess they just had Cambodia or Vietnam or somebody.
Cambodia, yeah.
Gee, that'll help us out.
Is
there any hope that the EU will come to the table to the White House or anything in the hopper on that?
Yeah, I think Reuters and Bloomberg have some stuff on Thursday. It sounds like the EU feels somewhat good about it. I think it's what it looks like when it's over. Who knows? What's also interesting is, you know, like in Germany, auto industry is super important. So they have a lot of motivation to get something done, but it might almost be like within the countries, a company by company basis. So like BMW and Mercedes, for example, are in good shape because they already have a significant manufacturing presence here. So they might get a little bit different treatment than, say, Volkswagen, because Volkswagen does have a play in the US, but Audi doesn't. So it might. And one of the things I read today was that, you know, if Volkswagen Group says, hey, we're going to make a big investment, that might help their tariff rate somehow. So it's going to get a little messy because obviously the EU is a huge consortium of countries. So
there's also this big partnership between Volkswagen and Rivian, and they're on a hiring spree. They're expanding. I wonder if that will help Volkswagen.
What are they going to produce? Do you know?
So right now, all that's supposed to come out of this joint venture is ARC software, electrical, or software-defined vehicles is the buzzword, but it's basically...
Isn't that just a marketing phrase?
I don't know. It seems like it might be a real thing. But
I think it's going into their next-gen cars, those smaller SUVs that they're going to be producing like two years from now.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
But basically, the thought is the Rivian software will find itself into Volkswagen vehicles. I will say Volkswagen does, when they talk about their U.S. investments, they are quick to mention that, hey, we've partnered with the U.S. company and spent over $5 billion into this joint venture. So that might be part of the argument for the tariff situation. But
What about the Italians? Are they going to be on the sidelines?
That's a good question. You know, we'll see. I mean, Ferrari is kind of in its own universe, I feel like. But, you know, looking at the Stellantis brands, I mean, that's been going back to another multi-layered thing. I mean, Stellantis obviously has a huge presence in Italy, but then they also have their U.S., their North America parts too. So we'll see. I mean, I haven't really read that much specifically about Italy, but I mean, they're up there too with Germany in terms of like an industry that's important.
This is just a crazy time in the auto industry. Mm-hmm. Just, it's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. Nobody knows what's happening, what's going to go on. It still is changing almost every day.
Yes.
It's just insane, man.
When I'm back next week, I might have a new update for y'all. Who knows?
Yeah.
Or I might be busy writing a story.
Exactly.
Give us a new update. Okay, I've got a couple of cars here. Another midsize crossover that was just some details of which were announced. I didn't drive it or anything. But Mazda has, Michelle, this is your brand, Mazda, the 2026 CX-5. They released a few details on it. And this is a very important car for Mazda. Jack was saying that the Audi Q5 is a big seller for Audi at 56,000 units last year. Mazda has been selling 150,000 units of the CX-5 a year for the last, I don't know, 7 or 8 years or something like that. It has been trending just a little bit downward, but it's holding, you know, pretty close to strong at 150,000 units a year. So for the 2026 model year, They call it all new, but it has the same engine, the same drivetrain, things like that. They did announce that a hybrid version of it will be coming out in 2027. No details on that. But for now, the 2026 model that they did talk about, they only listed one powertrain available. That is the base model, naturally aspirated 2.5-liter four-cylinder. and it's making almost exactly the same power and torque. It's up, it's off by one on each figure, 187 horsepower and 185 pound-feet of torque, made it to a six-speed automatic. So that is all carryover for this Mazda CX-5. There was no mention of the more powerful 2.5-liter turbo that makes 256 horsepower, 320 stump-pulling pound-feet, as we like to say in the car magazine business, on premium unleaded. Mazda did say there will be a hybrid coming in 2027, but as I said, no further information on that. They did redo the outside, and they keep saying Kodo design. Michelle, as a Mazda enthusiast, could you identify Kodo design, K-O-D-O?
Only because I pay such close attention. But yes, the Kodo design kicked in after my 2015 Miata. So 2016, year after that, Kodo design. And I can spot it a million miles away just because that's my brand. But it's more sporty. It's more aggressive looking. I think before that, there were a lot more curves and a lot more sort of more, to me, more pleasant to the eye. That's why I picked a 2015 Miata. But that's what they're running with. And then they're going upscale. They're looking to be a near luxury type of brand, but they want to be priced properly because they know their market. Then they're not going to try to overprice it. And I think that's why this CX-5 has been so hot for them. It's priced right. It's a wonderful, reliable car. They get great safety ratings from IIHS.
It's the right size for sure, too.
So. Yeah. Great safety ratings. Good consumer reports. I know you don't really care about those, but J.D. Power likes them also. They get really good ratings from a lot of those analysts. So it's not a surprise to me that that's a big seller.
All right. Mazda itself says Kodo design, quote, works off a familiar silhouette that clearly communicates that this is a CX-5 while also optimizing proportions to create a more spacious cabin, blah, blah, blah. Designers should not be allowed to speak and certainly should not be.
Right.
They should not
let them
speak. Car magazines.
Just put a thing in their mouth.
Well, yeah.
And then, Mark, did you see that? There's a 15.6-inch infotainment screen you can get in this.
Yeah, that is the most important thing, I think.
That's a laptop screen.
Is that too big?
I don't know. The new Tiguan has 15 inches, and I thought that was like getting kind of big because
it looks kind of big. I'm looking at a picture of it, which you can also see at autoweek.com. When you're going there, clicking on all my articles, the 15.6-inch screen is a touchscreen. Display for Google built-in technology includes Google Assistant, Google Maps, and Google Play Store. No idea what that is. I should have looked that up. I'm sorry I failed you. But
Google Play Store, that's for your games, so you can download your games.
Nope. I don't play computer games.
And that's interesting, too, because a lot of the, I don't know, I don't want to say a lot, but it seems like Google Play is going away for some manufacturers.
Ah. CarPlay. Yeah, that stuff keeps evolving. I remember Apple CarPlay was a big deal,
yes.
And Android Auto was a big deal, and a lot of people really like it. Some people don't use it at all. When I get into a new car, I tend not to connect the Apple CarPlay because they've already got a system in the thing, and I think usually those systems, the endemic, is that the word, system works better than Apple CarPlay. I think it looks better, but I don't know.
I think
we're not getting any money from Apple.
No, they just get one and they plug in. They plug in their phone. They don't even look. That's my experience. No,
nope. They don't.
They want their own music to play.
We're going on to the last review of the. It's like Johnny Carson used to say, "I hold in my hand the final envelope," and everybody would cheer and he would say something about a camel. I got to drive a Bright Drop. Anybody know what a Bright Drop is?
I do, but that's because I write for a car newspaper, I'm sure. The general public thinks you just made up a new word.
Yeah, GM sounds like
Bright
a candy.
Yeah. It's the dumbest name for any product ever. Bright meaning like promising, optimistic future. Drop meaning what you do when you deliver stuff. And they came up with Bright Drop. So in a meeting, they sat around and said, yeah, this is the best name for this product. It is, in fact, an electric delivery van made by General Motors. General Motors, when they launched this division, Bright Drop division, it was a separate deal. And it has done, sadly, it has done very poorly in the market. People are just not buying these. So they brought it back in. It's now a Chevrolet. It's part of Chevrolet. It's offered through Involve, which is the GM's sort of fleet services. I don't know. I had it for a week, so I was like, I felt like a UPS delivery guy. You can drive around with the door open. You're sitting way up on this thing. I wanted to have a shirt with my name stenciled on the above the pocket.
Yeah,
you know, just driving around, and it was so I was a delivery guy for the last week in this thing. It was fun. It was a fun, interesting experience. The whole thing is made out of aluminum, and since it's a commercial van, it is exposed aluminum. So all the joints, the latches, the wiring, everything is just exposed. And that actually makes it a lighter car. And it's a little louder, too. But I got into the 400, which is the smaller of the two bright drops available. There's a 600, which I think when you see the FedEx vans, a lot of those, if not all of them, are the 600. And that refers to the cubic feet of cargo space inside. So the 400 obviously had just over 400 cubic feet of space in there. And I was looking around all week. I even asked, I posted on Facebook. I said, does anybody need anything delivered? And of course, I was a week late on Michelle's from one condo to another. Sorry, Michelle.
Yep. So I responded, gee, great timing, Mark. Thanks.
Yeah. She's never going to let me forget that. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I did make a Home Depot run for mulch. Everybody needs mulch. I was able to easily stack 10 bags of mulch in the back. No problem. That didn't even make a dent in there. I still had lots of room in this thing. It's got so much room on the inside. Now, the thing you want to do if you buy one of these is put shelves in. When I was at Home Depot, a couple of guys who had a plumbing company, his father's son, they came over and I rolled up the back for them. They looked and, we just put in shelves in there. We have everything we ever need. I said, you should buy it. They said, how much does it cost? And I didn't know. So
if you have to ask, you can't afford it.
No. It's actually fairly affordable.
But we're talking 30. I'm going to guess. What do you guess, Jack, while he's looking at it?
Is under 50,000 right now because they're not selling any of them. They have them parked on not dealer lots, but just like huge expanses of concrete back in Flint, Michigan. If you were to fly over Flint and you look down, you see all these boxes lined up in rows. Those are GM Bright Drops that are not selling. They shut down. They were made in Canada at the CAMI plant, CAMI, in Ingersoll, Ontario. They shut the plant down, and they're not going to open it until maybe October. I mean, they said October, but we'll have to wait and see. So they have like thousands of these, and they're making good deals on them. You can get a lease for just under $600 a month and $3,000 due at signing, according to their website. So it's a fun. I enjoyed it, and I wish that they would sell more because I think for a daily electric vehicle, for a delivery service like Amazon or FedEx or whatever, it's perfect. So anyway, there, I have said that. We have 30 seconds left. I want to thank Jack for coming on to the show all the way from the Pacific Northwest. Thank you, Jack. Thank you, Michelle. I'm sorry again that I was not there to help move you. Thanks to Wendell and Master Control. Stick around for Rhapsody in Black. It's great music that sounds great on a car stereo. And we will see you all next week here on The Car Show.
ICE is escalating deportation operations around the Los Angeles area. But if you are stopped by ICE officers, you have constitutional rights, regardless of your immigration status. If you or someone you know has been detained or wants to report ICE, more information is available at CIRLA at 888-624-4752 for legal help and resources. It is bilingual. More information at CHIRLA.org.
KPFK's transmission is failing. We need your help. KPFK's Mount Wilson transmitter is the heart of our broadcast signal. The aging units that comprise our transmission system require constant maintenance, repair for failing parts, and eventually we'll need to replace the transmitter entirely.
Listeners across Southern California are already hearing the effect of these transmission issues. Static or dropouts due to occasional lowered power and total radio silence when we go off the air. If the transmitter fails completely, KPFK goes dark, except for our internet stream. Our plan is to raise $25,000 to fund these urgent repairs. A generous supporter is matching all donations until July 31st. If you donate now, your contribution will be doubled, providing the sufficient funding to keep KPFK on the air. Please call 818-985-5735.